Everyone, and welcome to the PGA of Canada Tee Talks podcast. My name is Mark Rowe. I'm thrilled to be back hosting another episode. And today's guest, as I've been told, is the wizard of fun at her family's golf course. And just with that line alone, I think we've sucked you in for at least the next 45 minutes. But I won't stop there. In fact, she's grown up on the golf course, so there aren't many jobs that she hasn't performed. And again, when I was told that, well, I followed up and I asked, so like, you're not talking about picking up garbage, are you? No. She's done that. Has she mowed fairways? You better believe she's done that. She's worked at a snack bar. It has all made her great in her current role as general manager. Now, she has helped grow her family's business by introducing programs to the public and staying up to date with modern content marketing. She also served on the NGCOA board from 2007 to 2019. And over the last 15 years, she has spoken all over the United States and Canada at various golf conferences, sharing ideas and how-to plans to help golf courses grow their number of rounds, players, revenue, you name it. Her love for the business of golf shows in her drive to make a difference in the industry by bringing in new players and sharing her successes with her fellow golf operators. It is the one and only Allison George. Allison, woo! Great to meet you.
Yeah, we need a clip of like applause or something.
I know the live studio audience is is not in the budget today, but we'll for future shows. Hopefully, we can get it in, but. I guess to say this episode is going to be fun is an understatement, because I'm going to start right
there.
That's
the goal, yes. Now I am up while it's still dark out, so I'll try to my best to bring the fun.
Well, you're joining us from Iowa, right? So
I am, yes. You've
woken up a little bit earlier than us here in the East Coast, but I don't know if I've ever met someone who is been given the title Wizard of Fun. So tell us, what is that?
So first of all, I need to quantify. Not only did I pick up garbage on the golf course, but in Iowa, you get 5 cents for every can.
Okay, perfect.
And so I picked through the garbage, and I would pull my parents. I started when I was 11, and my parents would give me whatever money if I picked out the cans. So I even picked through the garbage, pulled out all the cans.
You're a young entrepreneur.
We should have seen it coming, I guess. So it's kind of taken on a life of its own. Mostly I took over as general manager when I was 26, 27 years old, and I just hated introducing myself as a general manager. I just thought it sounded stuffy, and it was not the vibe that I wanted to present. My family's golf course is named Toad Valley, so it was a really easy URL to get. I'm pretty sure we're the only one out there. And obviously, the whole family is a little quirky, right? That was why I kind of retitled myself. At first, it was tongue-in-cheek, because mostly I move chairs and tables. At the time I did bookkeeping, I did training, I did all the marketing, I did a lot of the not fun jobs. The fun part is that I'm a big proponent in that we sell memories. And so my addiction is hearing people laugh, and providing that space, for people to do that, whether it's, wedding or playing golf with their grandpa, or we also have a miniature golf. And then we just built a 10 heated bay top tracer facility that we just opened. And I absolutely love hearing people laugh and have fun, and hence the title.
That's one of the best sounds in golf, when you hear another group from the hole next to you all, laughing or maybe cheering someone's putt and having a good time, because it should go without saying, golf should be fun. Now, it doesn't always go that way, whether it's the way that you're playing or way that the course is set up, or, all the rules that you have to adhere by, because, golf loves their rules. But, what would you say are your top components of fun that should be brought into golf clubs?
We're in the entertainment business, and so we need to remember that. We've never had a dress code. I think we have to kind of pay attention to, what society is kind of pushing towards. My sister's a teacher, and they used to dress up, and now, she wears jeans to work. So, whether you agree with it or not, it's just kind of a societal shift. So I think dress code is a big thing. We actually sell funny t-shirts. I don't even sell polos at the golf course anymore. We sell, we have like a t-shirt that has a hot dog on it that says the turn, So, they're just different things like that that we do. And then I like to have interesting titles to things. So it sets a tone. I like to attract people who know that I want them to have fun at my golf course because there are absolutely traditionalists, and there's nothing wrong with being a traditionalist. They probably aren't going to have fun at our course because we're a little quirky. So we do different types of events that from day one that you're coming to have fun. So one of the things we do is, just to kind of help with inventory at the end of the year, we try to make sure that we have as little beer as possible as we're going into the winter. And it used to be that we were able to, sell it back to our distributors, and they changed that law. And so I came up with we call it our crappy beer open. And so basically, what we're doing is we're just getting rid of, the slow movers, the stuff that, I'm going to have a hard time. It's going to expire before, the following season. But everybody absolutely loves it. They request it, want to know like when it's scheduled. And I think it's just because of the title of it is just silly. So those are just, we do, we do a lot of different things like that. So this last year, we did a mustache classic, and 'cause, facial hair is really big ever since COVID. And so now, so we, we gave con you know, had a contest of who had, the best mustache, and, just silly stuff like that. So we just kind of try and, set a tone, from day one. And then the third component is that we are very welcoming of new and beginner golfers and kids. So I have a lot of people that say, you're literally the only golf course where I don't feel like I'm annoying everyone by bringing my kid. And we do that through our pricing structure, and we call it family golf. And what happened over time, and basically what it is I started when I had children. They were young, and my husband and I, we would go out late, like at 7 o'clock, 7:30 at night, and we would play, two or three holes with our kids. And mostly because, by then, somebody was crying. And so we didn't want it to be forced on them. And so after a couple of holes, we would end up coming in. And my son was on a baseball team. And, we would reference that we were going to go home and play golf for 45 minutes. And they would say, oh, that must be, nice. I would love to only be able to play for, 45 minutes or a couple holes. And I thought, I actually have the power to offer something like that to people. And so it originally started, this is, 20 years ago, where we called it family golf, which essentially was just a very discounted round. And then we would give them the scorecards would have either a happy face or a sad face. So you just didn't really, because like the score just doesn't really matter. And then we would encourage them to play either alternate shot or best shot or something like that. And at the time, in order to get that discount, you had to have a child with you. And I was noticing that a lot of people would be like, hey, my girlfriend wants to get into golf, but she's not any good, and she doesn't, can I bring her during that time also? And so over time, it kind of metamorphosized into just kind of a welcoming beginner golfer overall environment. And it all happens after 6:30 at night. We actually, in June, when it's really late. We have tea times until like 8:15. And I sometimes I get calls, with people. This is, pre-COVID, but they would call me and say, "Hey, I have this great idea to fill up your course, late at night." And I would be like, "Once 5 o'clock hits, I have like 200 people that are showing up. Like, I do not need help."
That's our
And
prime time.
they would not, they wouldn't believe me, because, it's kind of unusual, in golf. But that just kind of metamorphosized. We would move the tees forward more, try to make the course, more presentable. And then, it just kind of has developed over time where we're known for being a welcoming golf course.
That's such a great idea because golf can be so intimidating for someone who really has never played it. And, to think of you, A, playing 18 holes or even 9 holes and, traveling 400 yards or 300 yards when you're barely able to get it off the tee, like it just seems like a lot of work. Those are great plans, and it really fits into the whole like let's have fun here. Like this is a game. This is a sport. This is what you should be doing with your kids or your wife or your husband. Now you are the boss, or you are one of the bosses, I guess, at your course. And yet I keep going back to, the whole Wizard of Fun thing. So how do you integrate the fun within your full team, given your position?
You gave me this question in advance, and I was, trying to think about like what is it that I do. Some of it just comes naturally to me. I am a joke. I'm a jokester. I would like to think I have a good sense of humor. And so some of the fun is just that I'm always joking around. And so I think that kind of, sets a nice, people know that they can, have fun at work. But the other component, is that I show up, and so I don't tell anybody to do something that I also wouldn't do. And I think that really helps as a boss because, especially, teenagers and things like that. First of all, I treat them with respect. I have teenagers. And so sometimes, we kind of, we complain about this younger generation, I do not complain about them. I just get right in there and work with them. I kind of take on the philosophy of, they've maybe, if you've grown up in town, you may not even be able to have some of the chores that we are expecting of you. And so I just kind of view myself as like, I'm their first job. I'm going to get in and show them, how to do things. So, and then, I just joke around with them. I joke around with them until they start talking to me. And so some of it is just showing up. For instance, so this last summer, I actually injured my foot and I had to have surgery on my foot. And I was in a boot for 6 months and I didn't walk for 2 months. But I still went to work every day and I still did my job, even though I was on this stupid scooter. And let me tell you, running a golf course when you can't walk is a nightmare. I went to work the day after my surgery just to check in on people. And I think that also sets a tone of like, where I'm willing to show up for you. And then the other thing that I do often is I just send out thank you texts to people and show their appreciation. So, we're a very busy place, and so sometimes at the end of the day, I mean, we're all tired, and I will just, send out an appreciation, and an attaboy goes a long way, and I think I know personally, I don't get a ton of attaboys because I'm at the, the top of the pyramid. And so I know how powerful attaboys are. And so that's, I give a lot of those. And then we do, fun things like, we've done like database growth parties where, we were trying to hit 10,000. This is quite a few years ago, but I really wanted 10,000 database names in my database. And so we had this, like a little thermometer, you know. And so every week, you know, I would put in, you know, how many more people we had added to our database. And, you know, we would have a pizza party when we, you know, added another 100 people, or, you know, added another 1,000 people. And just different things like that. And then the other thing, now I didn't do this last year because, like I said, it was a little rough on me not being able to walk. But we also give out like really terrible awards. This might be kind of equivalent to the Dundies, you know, from the Office.
Office.
So we, my sister-in-law and I, we go to, I don't know if you guys have the dollar store up in Canada, but yep. You know, just, you know, you buy like tons of, you know, janky things. And so we would have like an end of the season banquet. And, you know, maybe if someone knew that like one of our teenagers was really bad at cleaning, you know, we would give them a dustpan and the award of, you know, best at sweeping the room with a glance, or, you know, just something silly like that. So and then we have kind of like a hall of fame of, we make fun of you when you do something really stupid. And so, you know, we kind of, everybody acknowledges it, and we just turn it into a funny thing, you know, where, you know, like maybe, so this one, I was thinking this one kid, he was delivering, he was new, you know, 16-year-old, and we have a brush pile, and it had rained the night before, and so, you know, he probably shouldn't have taken the stuff to the brush pile, or at least used his head, and he got very, very stuck in the mud, and he, you know, was completely covered in mud. And, you know, sometimes, especially with young kids, you know, your instinct is to get mad, you know, and I rarely get, I mean, you could probably count on one hand how many times I get mad, because I just absolutely died laughing when I saw him. And, you know, we got him unstuck, and I'm sure, you know, he was mortified, you know, thinking, oh my goodness, this is my first day on the job, and now, you know, I've got the golf cart stuck, I'm covered in mud, you know. And so, you know, I'm like, oh, you got to pose, you know, we got to put this picture up. You know, another one, we had one of our drink cart girls. I thought I had trained her better than this, but they don't always know everything about golf, right? And she parked on the green to serve. And, you know, I didn't get mad at her. I just made fun of her. And we turned it into, you know, an ongoing joke. And so I don't know if that makes it, you know, it sounds kind of maybe like I'm condescending, but my fun, but I promise you I am not. I just turn everything into a big joke, and we all have fun with it. So,
you know, it's funny, Allison, like I just met you, and I'm pretty sure that you'd be the best boss to have, right? Because, you know, like, obviously, you know, you're talking about the crappy beer open, the mustache classic, you know, people, you know, you probably have a lot of young staff members who are going to make mistakes, because that's what, you know, that's what we all do, whether we're teenagers or not, especially if we're new to the job. And, you know, I think that there's a balance between getting people to learn, but also not taking things too seriously. Now, that being said, you know, it's been pretty, you know, lighthearted, and we're having fun, but you know, I'm sure that there are, well, I know there's got to be challenges here. And, you know, your season is pretty similar to much of Canada, where you have about 6 to 8 months. So tell us the biggest barriers or obstacles to maintaining that fun at a golf club during that type of season, like we often see here in Canada.
I think for me, it's just, you know, especially as I've gotten older, is just maintaining my enthusiasm. Because golfers probably frustrate me the most by the end of the season. You know, everyone gets a little cantankerous sometimes. And so I just try really hard to be self-aware of my complaining, and, you know, keep it to a minimum. Because I think an environment where you're hearing nothing but complaining, it just adds to negativity. And so I think that for me, that's probably my biggest challenge, is like by the end of the season, you know, I am tired of the season pass holder that, you know, thinks they own the place and, you know, tells me every time I see, you know, they see me, you know, what I should be doing. And I just continue smiling, even though I don't want to. And so I learned a long time ago that, so every time I walk through the clubhouse, even if I'm having a bad day, I just paste a smile on my face because a smile does wonders for setting a mood. And even, and what's interesting about when you kind of paste a smile on your face is by the end of the day, you actually are no longer pasting it. So it's kind of one of those, you know, fake it till you make it. So I think that's probably the thing I struggle with the most is just, you know, making sure that I am not presenting myself as being, you know, worn out and mad and complaining.
Well, one of, as a golfer speaking, you know, for myself, one of the challenges I have is what a lot of people do have, and that's time. It can be money. I have two young kids. I have a pretty busy job. So my rounds have kind of decreased over time and somewhat for good reason with having kids and stuff. But, you know, how do you shift sort of the language to being more positive about golf, rather than, you know, you have some of these old stories of whether it's clubs closing, whether it's, you know, a round takes too long, you know, you're talking about on some courses, 5 hours. You know, I'm in Southern Ontario. It's, you know, there's a, it's really tough to find, you know, a round of golf that's under $100. Like a lot of people can't afford that. So how would you kind of navigate those challenges?
So one of the things that, you know, I'm a big proponent of is I kind of actually get frustrated with golf that we're constantly apologizing for how long it takes. And I am on a campaign to reframe that, because I love spending 5 hours of uninterrupted time with my family. And I don't do it anywhere else. And I don't do it in any other sports. You know, when my kids are grown now, but when they were young, you know, when I go to, you know, people spend all day at a baseball field and they're sitting on a bleacher and they're not even actually actively participating with their kid. So I don't really think time is necessarily the issue, because, you know, I know people that, you know, they drive to, you know, 5 hours away to go watch, you know, I did it myself. You know, my daughter was a competitive dancer and, you know, we would drive 4 or 5 hours away. I would sit all day long through an awards show to watch my daughter dance for 3 minutes. And, you know, so I would much rather have been on the golf course spending 5 hours with her, you know, actively talking to her, you know, especially with, when they're teenagers, you know, I don't know about you guys, but like my cell phone doesn't work very well on the golf course. And I like that, you know, because, you know, it's, you're removing the screen and making all that. So I try, through marketing, and, storytelling, and just kind of setting a tone, to celebrate that pause of life that I think golf can provide. So, and now that being said, I get it. We also, you know, we have, you know, 9-hole rates. We have a early bird discount, you know, where if you only want to pay, you know, a couple holes, you can, we have kind of a loop that can work well for that. And so, you know, and the biggest thing that I do, is that discounted rate for beginner golfers that happens really late at night. Because that way, if you're frustrated and you don't, you know, you only get in 4 holes, it's not like you're like, I spent $100 and all I played was 4 holes.
Right.
And so I personally think, and my golf course is, you know, I think there's tiers of golf course of where you are positioned, in the, grand scheme. You know, I'm an average Joe everyday golf course. I'm where you learn to play. And so you're going to play at our course a lot. where, a higher end course, you might only play there, four or five times a year, just, A, because you can't afford it, or maybe you have to travel to go there. And so, some of the things that I'm discussing obviously wouldn't work at like a resort course or something like that, because, they have kind of a, they land in the different tier of, what golf is. But I think for the average, daily fee, average Joe golf course, I think it's important that, you offer times of the day that is going to be slow play. And, those people that play in the evenings, they know they're not coming for speed. And so, like a gentleman like you, where when you're bringing your kids, you come and play on Saturday morning with your buddies when you want to play fast. And you know you're going to play slow when you come on Monday night. And so I think just kind of setting that expectation, which we do, through automated emails, and we have things, hanging up in the clubhouse, and just different stuff like that. So it's not to say that I don't have, people that complain and get mad at long rounds, but those are kind of the things that we do to manage that. We also have, GPS on our carts. And that's been kind of a game changer for us to be able to kind of manage those expectations. It would give like a polite nudge of, when you're around, and or when you're slower, So, the GPS does it automatically, and says, hey, you're 10 minutes, behind. And then we can also give, another nudge directly from the clubhouse. And it feels like, being self-governing, that helps a little bit. Iowa, it might just be where I'm live. We're kind of like Canadians, where we're known for being nice. And so, I don't know, maybe that would, not, not always work, but in other areas of the country, I guess. But those are the things that all kind of work for me. And then this is a really weird thing that we, my family and I did. We actually removed all of our sand traps. And we did that specifically to help with speed of play. Because where we are, we get those Alberta clippers. You're gonna, all of your terrible wind comes, shooting down to Iowa. And we get where it's just really, really windy, and so we have to have like a really thick, almost dirt-like sand in our sand traps. And everybody complains about, how the sand traps are muddy or whatever. And I was like, this is stupid. Like, everybody's complaining about the sand traps. We're just gonna get rid of them. And that also has kind of sped up play. Obviously, not every golf course can do that, because their goal is not the same as mine, which that doesn't. There's nothing wrong with that. I just know where I am positioned in, as somebody who I'm trying to get people addicted to the game, so that then they go to those higher end courses. And so that's kind of just a handful of the different things that we do.
Right. And to kind of accomplish what you just talked about, sort of connects to how we started this conversation, which is being as inclusive as possible. And you talked about, I'd rather be there with my family. And there's probably a lot of people listening saying, well, how do I even get my family on board with golf? And that's how, we started things with all these different programs and different ways to actually play the golf, as opposed to the structured, when you play golf, you play 18 holes and you play X amount of yards, and and not everyone's going to sign up for that. You have touched on the traditionalists a bit. I want you to expand on that, because all I can envision a little bit is the movie Happy Gilmore, right? When Shooter McGavin's getting all pissed off with all these fans who are coming who aren't typically golf fans because of the Adam Sandler character. And if you haven't seen the movie, this is, I know, lost on you, but I know a lot of people have. So how do you make sure that that part of your clientele is still happy while, you're encouraging a bunch of kids to come to your golf course, and you're encouraging a bunch of beginners to learn and probably not succeed for a while at golf, because golf can be tough, and it maybe it takes a couple of years to start actually, I don't want to say a new master, because no one masters golf, but you know what I mean? Like, starts playing at a reasonable level.
So our more traditionalist golfers, they're encouraged to play in the morning, and we just basically say that, you know, hey, if you're if you want to play fast, and we open early, like on the weekends we open at 5:30 in the morning, and during the week we open at 6:30. And so you know, and we just literally say that in follow-up emails, you know, things like that, you know, where we're you know, letting them know that you need to, if you want to play fast, you're gonna have to come early in the morning. So that's the biggest thing. And then I think because I've been doing this for so long, I just am known for what the tone of our golf course is. And so if you're a traditionalist, you probably don't play at our course. And if you do, you know, you're gonna have music playing. We play music before every golf outing. You know, I got music, loud music playing on the range. And so if you don't like that, you know, as soon as you get out of your car that you're, that it is not a traditionalist golf course.
This isn't for me.
And so, you know, as soon as you pull in our parking lot, we have a big sign that says, you know, the fun starts now. And so we've just tried our best to, you know, set that tone, so that when a traditionalist comes, they can, you know, be like, okay, you know, I'm not in, I'm not in a place where, you know, they're, that we're going to be requiring, you know, a pull, you know, a collared shirt and, you know, so all those types of things. So, I think I don't, and it's like I said, I've been doing this for so long. Maybe they just don't play here anymore and I don't notice anymore. I just don't really have a problem. With, you know, it's not like I have a bunch of, you know, angry golfers with me. I have far more people that, you know, are like, I just love playing here. And so I think some of it might actually have more to do with golf operators than actually golfers. Where, you know, it is hard for us to, you know, swallow that pill of like, oh my goodness, I am gonna, we're gonna have music playing on the golf course. So, you know, we do have, you know, player assistants, you know, that make sure that if you're enjoying music as a golfer, that you're enjoying it for your foursome and not for the golf course. You know, 'cause I think that's where, you know, you have to kind of, you know, walk that line, you know. My brother is a traditionalist, and even he has been like, I have to just accept that golf is, you know, slowly changing. And I think that that's kind of, I think he's maybe normal. He will never believe that I just said that he was normal, but
Hopefully he's listening to this.
So anyway, I think that I don't think it's as complicated as you might think it is. I guess is what I'm saying.
So obviously you're very transparent with how you market your golf course and what you are. So what are some strategies that listeners can take to highlight, and we'll let's focus on the word fun again, to their public through social media, because that has become such a game changer for all of us, whether you're in the golf industry or not.
So I am funny on social media.
You don't
You know,
say. Shocker.
I don't, I don't do, you know, I'm not posting rules. Okay. I did not post, you know, the USGA, you know, and all this ball,
You're not the person calling in at a golf tournament saying, I think that this golfer broke a rule.
No. So, and I don't also don't stoke that fire on my social media. And so, you know, I do fun things. I call them conversation starters. You know, it'll be like, you know, what are you putting in your Bloody Mary at the turn? Or, you know, what's your favorite topping you're putting on your hot dog? And so, you know, I, you know, set that, you know, not to sound, you know, redundant, but I set the tone even on social media of, you know, my social media is going to be different from everybody else. I do not blast my social, I do not treat my social media like a giant bulletin board, which is pretty common for what golf courses do. They just every single post is, you know, frost delay today, And the greens are rolled this morning, or we're having a scramble, two person scramble, where it's stuff. And I call it a bulletin board because if you have a bulletin board hanging up in your clubhouse, it's all the same flyers you would put on the bulletin board. And just like a bulletin board becomes noise, when you're using that with your social media, it just becomes noise also. Nobody pays attention to it. There's a neighboring golf course that they post the same thing on Monday. They post the same thing on Tuesday, and I can predict what they're going to talk about, and that is boring social media. So ours is more engaging. I take pictures of what we're doing at the golf course. And then if you're not, if you're not a writer, or you don't really have excuses anymore with chat GPT. The most common phrase I use when I'm using chat GPT is make it funny. So, and it is remarkable how
Well,
well, it does that. So, if you're not creative, you don't really have excuses anymore, because it used to be, oh, I'm not creative. I'm not good at writing copy. But, now that you have that, it makes marketing so much easier. So, what I've been doing this last month is, putting in all of my previous marketing, and then, coming up with different ways of saying something. And then I always end it, with make it funny, and then chat just does it for me. So, I do that with, my email subject lines and my emails. They're also definitely not a normal golf course's email. I pretend like I'm writing to a friend, and I joke around, about my family or my brother, and so they're not formal and businesslike. So I guess those are kind of the ways that I help to set that tone in my marketing. The same, I'm actually in the middle right now of kind of changing some of the language on the website to be a little more fun. So
More
anyway,
fun. Wow. All right. You can never have enough fun, right? When it comes
Yes.
to
Well,
your business.
sometimes when you're writing, you don't mean to sound boring and dull, because you're just getting across a point.
Sure.
And so I have been kind of analyzing that of like, okay, yeah, these are some places, I wrote it, a few years ago. I'm gonna, add a little bit more spice and sass to it too, because I know from as a consumer, I love the websites that when I read their copy, I'm like, that's funny. And they have, charm to them of how they're even just how their copy is. And so that's kind of where I think, copy is probably the easiest way to set that kind of more fun tone. And it's also easy to just kind of become monotonous, because all you're doing is, providing information, and you want people to, but there's a creative way that you can provide that information. And
Right.
so that's what I work on.
Okay, so building off of what you've been talking about, if you had, let's say one wish that could take effect immediately, what would it be and how leaders in the golf industry manage their club social media?
I would say,
Like, would
I
you
think,
want them to be just like you, where you're just having
so
fun?
I don't think it's suitable for every golf course to be like me. Just because, I don't think every golf course should set the tone that I set. Because I think there's a place for formality, and I think there is a place for, a collared shirt, and things like that. I think that there are golf courses out there that do that have that, and I even enjoy going to them, even though I tend to be more of a fun person. I do think that you need to be welcoming to all types of golfers. I personally have been to golf courses before where, as a woman, I feel uncomfortable or unwelcome, and that's a if we can't even get that right, we need to
Yeah.
go back to, that's like learning your ABCs. So I think you can, definitely, pay attention to the small things. So, if you tend to be more of a traditionalist golf course, that's That's fine. But you also still need to be welcoming of everyone and make sure that they don't feel uncomfortable. So, just little things would be, that what does your bathroom look like? I do a lot of consulting, and almost everybody that I consult, I make them paint their bathroom because I don't even realize that, oh wow, we haven't painted it for 15 years, and it's got cobwebs in the corners. Well, bathrooms are really important too. They are super important to women, and I think they're probably more important to guys than a guy would let on. So, and there's just like little things that you can do like that. But for social media wise, not every golf course is going to want to joke around and like encourage, what are you putting on your hot dog? Sometimes it'll be like, what's your favorite beer or whatever, things like, but you could put things like, Titleist or Callaway, so still, be able to get things that are engaging with people. And I do not think that every golf course should be like me. That would be really dull. Life would be very boring if that was like that. So, but I would like to see golfers be more, or golf courses be more transparent, period, whether you're a traditionalist or you're a more of a fun golf course, on your social media. So, not just using it as a place to tell, what's upcoming at your events, but get out there and, take pictures of your superintendent. I think we devalue the superintendents, and their job is unbelievably interesting. And they do something different every single day. The amount of knowledge that they have in order to, perform their job, they're part scientist, they're part plumber, they're part haircut, or with the green, they're an artist almost. I could probably follow my superintendent around and be taking pictures of what they do every day, every hour of every day, and people would find it interesting, because it's not a normal job. Some of them even, dig holes beautifully, where they, they cut out this perfect piece of sod and then they dig this hole. And, even what's underground is amazing to me, how they're able to repair, whatever it is. And then they, put this thing, it's almost like they're a surgeon, and so I would like golf courses to, just show a little bit more behind the scenes. If you have a chef, what are they doing to prepare, just different things like that. In your pro shop, you can, it's kind of fun in the spring when all those boxers are coming in, and take pictures of those things. I think people are very interested in, just kind of, if you go to somebody's house, they like looking in the medicine cabinet. And so I would show people your medicine cabinet, whether your traditional golf course or a fun one, because to me, that's what kind of makes you engaging, and it inadvertently also makes you welcoming. Like, people on my social media, they know that they're talking to me, even though I'm hiding behind the name of my golf course. But I engage, I joke with them, on the comments. And but then I'm also sharing, I was, when we built this top tracer, I took a picture of all the plumbing that's underground that, turned into our bathrooms. And, my daughter was like, "That's dumb." But you know what? It got, whatever, 150 likes, just because people like that transparency, and they are sharing in my excitement, because I was like, three cheers, and then I put, the poop emoji, and everyone's like, "I can't wait to be the first one to use it," So, you think it might be dumb, but people, that's what is modern marketing, is when you're showing what's under the hood just a little bit, and not having just that formal boundary, that is more, what businesses were, 15, 20 years ago, and more. So it's kind of like, when you think about a 50s housewife, where, she was very, putting on this, kind of facade. And that facade has, been removed, and it's really easy to remove that fa facade through social media just by taking some pictures. And they don't even have to be good. So my daughter is always amazed at what I will put on social media, and then, it'll get, 300 likes, and she's like, how is that even? Like, they like it because I'm showing them under the hood. And so I think every golf course can do that, regardless of, what, if you're, that fun or if you're more traditionalist. And it's also how you set the tone, because a more traditional golf course is gonna have, that's the vibe. You're not even gonna know you're doing it. You're gonna be setting that vibe out there.
Yeah, the golf industry has a lot to show, right? Whether you know it or not, and you're
It's a really
providing.
cool job. Yeah, it's really interesting. Every day is different. That's why people, I have, I have a physician's assistant that works for me part-time, and he's like, this is my fun job. I've got people that work in banking, and they come, they work, just one or two nights a week, and they're like, they like it because it's a fun job, because it is unpredictable. And people, it's not like you're going to the dentist. People walk through the door and they're there to have fun. It's not like it's a job to, have to go talk somebody into go play golf. So, and that just automatically, makes it be enjoyable. They walk through the door and they're excited. So, you're screwing it up if you make them mad from there. So, we just kind of, we engage everybody who walks in the door, and let them, tell them hi and thank them for coming, and just all those little things, they all add up.
Well, Allison, your upbeat personality, to put it lightly, is infectious because I don't know if I have smiled as much as I have in today's podcast. So, congratulations on that. Congratulations on
Right.
your success with your course and with your family. And we really appreciate you joining us today.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me.
And thanks for everyone for tuning into this episode of Tee Talks Podcast. Be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Podbean for up-to-date podcast alerts and early access.